Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Soap Dish Salem Style. I am your host, Toni Ann, and this week I have Ariet with me. Say hey, Ariet.
Hi, Tony.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hi, everyone. I'm excited, or not? No, actually, this week was
The show
boring,
content was kind of meh, but I think our
but I'm
discussion is going
excited
to
to
be
talk
more.
about it with Tony, I guess.
Exactly. I think our conversation is probably going to be more interesting than anything that happened on the show
Yeah,
this week.
I agree.
But let us jump into some news before we get into the on-screen stuff. First things first, Adam Kane returns as Edmund Crumb next week. And I, for one, am super duper excited about this. I am currently working my way through 1998 Days. So I am watching the beginning of Susan and Edmund falling in love. And I love them. I am obsessed with them. I no longer acknowledge her relationship with Roger. And I am team bring Edmund back, bring Susan back, and give them the happily ever after they deserve.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously remember them like a little, but it's been a while since I watched the 90s. So I guess I'm, well, I don't know. I don't really care about Susan, but I don't mind this, but I don't remember him a lot. That's making it hard for me to be excited
Yeah,
because
we met
I
him
know
in
of him, but
London. He's basically the male Susan,
yeah.
but very like he's the male Susan with like a genius twist
Okay.
is how I can accurately describe it. And I remember we talked last week, I think, on the podcast about me having a theory about like Susan potentially having amnesia and thinking she's still with Edmund. And I'm wondering if that theory is actually going to be a reality now, because
Looking like it.
I don't see why else Edmund would be back.
Yeah, we'll see next week if your theory is right, and it by the sound of it looks like you're right about this.
I love it when my day's theories wind up being right, because it's always the most off the wall random shit that winds up being right. But we also have another little piece of news. Friday, September 22nd was the last air date for Jen Lilly as Teresa. So, the next time we see Teresa, it will be a new face, presumably Emily O'Brien's face.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. How are we gonna? I don't think we're gonna exit Gwen immediately.
Like, unless she's dying in the next like 3 weeks, I don't see. Yeah, it's.
She's gonna
I'm vi
probably play a dual role, dual roles, sorry, until
Which
like Gwen leaves.
is such an odd choice.
Yeah. I
Unless
mean,
Gwen is gonna bite it in the next 2 or 3 weeks, because, like, they're setting it up for maybe Dimitri thinking he's going after Gabby and winds up getting Gwen instead.
yeah, it's wild though. Like Teresa and Gwen have no, basically no connection. But like, after having watched Teresa, and like, let's say if Jen Lilly was still staying as Teresa and Gwen was still around, I would honestly pick Gwen in a heartbeat because Teresa is just not my cup of tea. I mean, I love vixens, I love great characters, whatever, but she's
Is
just.
she too pathetic for you?
Yeah, not even that. Like, a character can be pathetic, she's just exhausting.
Is it who she's being exhausting over? Is it because
Not
it's Brady?
really, because actually, you know what? I've softened up to Brady, I'm not his biggest fan still, but I'm siding with him because she's just too much and she's too exhausting. She's in her 30s, right?
Yes, she is like a
She's supposed to
year
be
older than, yeah,
like,
she's like a year older than me,
yeah, so she's
and I'm
2 years older
32,
than me.
so
She's born in 1990, right?
yes, I believe so.
Okay, so I don't think she's been sore-assed, though she, I mean, with Jen playing her, she should have been sore-assed, but I, whatever. She's a grown adult and she's acting like a child. And the dynamic with her and Brady, it's like he is parenting her. It's not cute. She's exhausting. Like, if we still had both actors around as the characters are playing, I would have picked Gwen in a heartbeat. Yeah, she is Gwen. We are over her, but she's not really this exhausting, like, child. I don't know how to explain it, but
It doesn't come off as petulant. It's exhausting in a different way.
yeah, very different way. But it's not like, oh, she's just so annoying to listen to. That's not the case with Gwen. It's a whole nother issue.
I also wonder too if the actor switch is going to change your feelings, because I feel like Jen Lilly has one of those voices where when she gets into the pathetic, begging, whiny mode, her voice hits this pitch that is just automatically annoying.
I don't know. Maybe. It's
Which
either.
makes the problems in the writing magnified, because it's like, oh God, this is terrible writing, and oh God, this voice is making it even more annoying.
It could be. I don't know until I see Emily in the role.
Because I have to imagine, based on what her quote unquote exit was, that she's going to come back relatively quickly. Because, like, are Brady and Teresa going to be chilling in California for the next month and a half?
Come again?
Because like they're leaving to go to California because there's a problem with Tate. He's in a
Yeah.
boarding school. He got expelled from a boarding school in California. So they are presumably hopping on a plane and going to California. And when Brady and Teresa come back with their son, Teresa will have a new face.
Yeah, that's got to be it. I think it's a way to kind of segue Tate back into canvas and also recast the character of Teresa.
I just wonder how long that's going to take.
Maybe, I mean, unless we had, are there like spoilers are out there?
No, that's what I'm saying. There's like no spoilers that hint at an impending exit for Gwen, and there's no spoilers that hint at an impending return for Teresa, but I don't imagine that Brady's off canvas very long.
Yeah, and maybe in the next upcoming 2 weeks, like by October sometime, I think we're gonna see a switch.
But I will say I do love the parallels of Tate being expelled from boarding school, because if I remember correctly, I don't know if Brady was expelled or he just dropped out, but when Kyle Lauder debuted as Brady, he like came, I think he either came home from boarding school or came home from college, and he was either expelled or dropped out. And I just kind of love the little parallels there. And I wonder if Tate is going to be as angry as his father was.
I'm honestly curious if he did. Did he get expelled?
Tate or Brady?
Brady.
I can't. I've,
I mean,
I'm
it
not sure.
says he returns as a college student who lashes out at everyone. But,
But he was so angry. I can't remember if he just chose to drop out or if he was actually kicked out of school.
it's a possibility that he was kicked out. I mean, he was a loner. He was having a lot of like anger built up inside. Like, typically, those characters are the ones like who drop out of school or blah, blah, blah. Like, if you, they used to play into that trope back in the day. And I think Brady most definitely either dropped out or skipped school.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting to see where this all winds up, but we can head
But quite,
into.
never
Oh, go
mind.
ahead.
We'll take it
No,
when it.
go ahead.
No, I was wondering since they said that they're leaving to like go be with Tate and deal with the drama there. That means we're seeing them sooner than I expected because I thought like November sweeps, maybe into next year.
That's exactly why I'm like, this is. That's exactly why I'm t like the timing in my head isn't quite adding up, because Gwen isn't exactly in an exit position yet.
Not really.
And but this exit is not something that can take forever either, because like how long are you dealing with the headmaster at your son's former boarding school?
Yeah.
Like that realistically does not take that long.
No. Maybe a week or so, but I guess we'll see on screen how long it takes.
But with that, we can head into our headlines. Speaking of Gwen, Gwen reveals she knows everything and teams up with Kristen to destroy Dimitri while Dimitri vows revenge on Stefan and Gabby for blackmailing him.
I
I
like
enjoy. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I like the twist, but I didn't need all of that exposition on number
Yeah, that's
six. So.
exactly where I was going. The flashbacks to stuff that we didn't see, like Dimitri basically giving Leo a blowjob and Gwen walking in on it, like that we didn't see. That was fine. Noticing that Gwen was overhearing the conversation between Kristen and Dimitri, like that was fine. But all the stuff that we saw, we did not need to re-see again.
Like it took up the entire episode, and I'm like,
That,
okay.
yeah, like, because I clip Dimitri's scenes on my channel, and
I think that
all
was
that
like
stuff,
20 minutes of.
it took up 21 minutes, and I'm like, this is insane. And 10 of those minutes were exposition. Like, I
Of
am
lazy
generally
writing.
confused as a whole why we have had an uptick in flashbacks in general, because I have noticed a decrease in them since the Peacock transition. But in the last few weeks, we have randomly been flashing back to yesterday. We have randomly been repeating endings. We have been doing shit we used to do to make up time on network
I think
broadcast, which we
they're
don't
trying
have.
to like pivot out of these stories, find an ending to them, and then that's where the flashback come in because Ron isn't that creative to write a good ending, at least not anymore.
Either that, or because of the budget, like because of the budget cuts, them having to like quick shift out and edit certain things are making it like making the transitions weird. So they kind of have to flash back to things to make up for time, or because of they knew the writer strike was happening, they started kind of putting in flashbacks to fill up time so that they would have more written material. I don't know. There's a bunch of different things that are going through my head. Either way, the flashbacks need to fucking stop because we don't need them.
Yeah. Honestly, that's
And
all I got for this story. Like, I don't care about Dimitri.
I will say, I do like the more lethal side to Dimitri. And I do think that Dimitri wanting to kill Stefan and Gabby is either going to be how Gabby leaves or
Well, it's
how Gwen
definitely
leaves.
why or how she leaves, because we have 1 month left of Gabby. And they haven't done a story for them on their own, so it's definitely tied to this.
My thought is Dimitri is successful and kills Gabby, or kills Gwen on accident, thinking it's Gabby, and frames Gabby for her murder.
Yeah, that's gonna piss fans off if the latter happens.
Oh, completely, but I
I mean, either
still don't.
way. They're going to be pissed because I don't see a good way. I don't see the writers doing it in a good way for Stabby because they don't. It's obvious the writers do not give a fuck about Stabby. I mean, that's the case for most ships, I guess, on the show. But like, they have done nothing with these characters as individuals and as a pairing. And they clearly do not give a fuck because they would have at least given some emblems of a story or something, even if they weren't a focus. I mean, they're part of this story, but not the story. And
Yeah,
it's just they don't care. So it's gonna be fucked up. I was like, should I curse? But we always curse here.
we always
So
curse. There's no,
but
no,
yeah,
there's no.
it's not gonna be good. But if they have Gabby go into prison doing something like being framed for something she didn't do or being killed off, like what's the better option here?
All totally completely sucks, but I don't really see any other option unless we throw shit together in the last 2 weeks before she leaves, which is also an option.
Mean, they could do whatever they did with like when her father showed up and they made up like her mom being, wasn't it her mom being sick or something like
Well,
that?
that was the cover story, but she was actually going into hiding because of Eduardo's enemies. But the cover story was she needed to go away to, she needed to go deal
Oh
with
yeah,
her
that
mom.
was a yeah. But I mean,
Yeah,
they
that was the
can do something like that again, like a quick exit, like not tied to the story itself,
I do
but
wonder, do you remember, I don't know if I put it in our group chat or if you'd seen it on the timeline. There was that picture, from a story that Rob Scott Wilson had posted that was a picture of Alex standing in what looked like their park set in a fall setting, and he had blood all over his shirt.
I don't remember.
But it wasn't blood like he was hurt. It was blood like he was trying to stop someone from bleeding and it got all over him.
You're
So
thinking it's Gabby?
I'm wondering if whatever happens, if it's Gabby or maybe it's, I don't know.
We'll
If he
see.
stumbles on Gabby or Gwen, I don't know.
I think this is going to happen October leading into November sweeps.
Because we know that Gabby's gone by the end of October just based on when she finished filming.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why at this point, because they're not doing shit with her. Like, they're
Oh,
not.
completely. Camilla choosing to leave makes complete sense. And I'll be honest, I am low-key shocked that Brandon is still there.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how what they're gonna do with him. However, back to the story. I realized I don't have anything else.
No, this is basically it because it was just we spent 2 days on this shit and we got nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, we got exposition, and I like that Gwen. Oh, we can talk about that. Even if it was dragged out forever and took 84 years, it was still, I guess, in character for Gwen, because she it would not have made sense for her to not know about this.
Yeah, that was our biggest complaint of the entire story, and I'm glad that that's
And we got a
been
conf
rectified.
confirmed that she found out in Iceland.
Yeah, 'cause she walked in on.
So technically, I was correct. I said it on the timeline. I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but Sixers on Twitter, she asked, "When do you guys think Gwen found out?" And I said, "I'm thinking Iceland, but I'm hoping it's before that." Or something like
Yeah,
that.
I said Iceland too.
Because I wanted it to be before that, but technically both answers are right. She figured it out in Iceland, but everything leading up to it kind of like made her add those pieces together. I guess she was a bit suspicious leading up to it.
But she didn't want to believe it.
Yeah, until Iceland.
But I'm glad they're not making Gwen as stupid as she looked, because those Madonna scenes were the limit for me, and I'm glad that they were the limit for her too.
Same. Yeah,
That
because
was just so fucking dumb. That was just so fucking dumb.
it really was.
So, do we have anything else to say, or can we move on from the exposition of our lives?
That's our podcast title. Let's move on to the next one.
Jada confronts Talia over sleeping with Sean while Sean is consumed with guilt. This was such a good story this week for me. Like, I loved the Jada Talia scenes.
Yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed their scenes too. I'm trying to remember what they discussed because so much.
Well, because Jada came in and was like, "Did you sleep with Sean?" And Tally was like, "No, what are you talking about? Like, why are you even asking?" Well, Jada was like, "First of all, I talked to Eric. Second of all, I see the party that you had in the room. Third of all, you're not actually answering my question. So I will ask again, did you sleep with Sean Brady?" And then she begrudgingly said yes. And then Jada was like, "How could you? His wife is the one who got you out. Like, what were you thinking?" And then Talia went into everything that happened with Chanel and where Sean's head was. And then it ended up turning into Talia kind of was beating herself up for the choice that she made. And then Jada kind of pivoted from being the hard older sister to like being the supportive older sister. And I just really enjoyed those scenes. And there was something in the way Aketra was playing it where, like, she wasn't fake crying. She was real crying to the point that there were certain scenes where she sounded like she was going to hyperventilate. And whenever you, as an actor, go that deep into it, I always end up feeling for you. And I am really curious how this is all going to play out because you also have Sean being completely wrecked with guilt, but he still hasn't been able to tell Belle. How do you th
I think Talia is gonna end up telling her.
I was going to ask, how do you think she's going to find out? Do you think he's going to say something? Do you think she's going to say something? Because she also is not one who can, despite the fact that she came in lying, I feel like she's not one who's going to be able to hold this kind of secret. It feels like it's going to be bubbling up on the surface and she's just going to eventually emotionally vomit it out.
Yeah, I don't think she can hold it in for long. And also, I don't see them doing that because they're about to exit. Belle, at least. We don't know about Sean and Talia. We do know she's leaving. So I'm thinking both of them come up in like November, their exits, that is.
Yeah, we know Bell's is in November. I just don't know when hers is, when Talia's is.
Yeah, so I guess I'm thinking she's gonna tell her about them like sleeping together. And I honestly like there's not much to say because all of these scenes were really good. I'm trying to remember the Sean Bell part of it because
Yeah, they were talking at the square and they were talking about whether or not he would go to rehab. He said he's going to go to Alcoholics Anonymous and he wanted her to go to a meeting with him.
yeah, I remember the scene where Talia showed up in the square and it was like
And then
so
we just didn't get
awkward.
back to it for the rest of the week and I'm just like, how do you not answer this? I swear, I realized something the other day. Days does not write their show like you watch it every day. Okay, yeah, it makes no sense that after the cliffhanger with Sean, Talia, and Belle, they didn't circle back to it the rest of the week. And it made me realize that Days doesn't write their show as if you watch it every day. They watch your show as if you binge it. Because if you were to binge this story like months and months later and you didn't realize how it played out in real time, the story would actually flow really nicely, but when you're watching it in real time, it's like, why are we taking forever to circle back to the things that matter?
They used to be better at like picking up on stories. They used to have like their A and B stories airing like Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, and Tuesday and Thursdays were like the C stories. And they did that for a bit, like this summer, I guess, with the A story. But now they're back to like everyone airing a lot.
Yeah, it's mixing and matching, and
I don't
it's
know. I
just
it's messed
very
up.
odd.
Yeah, I the reason why I've forgotten a lot about these scenes is because everything else in between was basically the focus. Like these were good scenes, but like I guess my brain has picked up on the clusterfuck this week was. Because
So,
I think these scenes aired like early this week.
yeah, I want to say they aired on Tuesday, Monday, or Tuesday. I
Yeah,
feel
no
like it was
wonder I
Tuesday.
forgot. But I mean, I remember enjoying them, but I forgot the details.
Yeah, but should we move on to our next story? Because this
Yes.
unfortunately took up a majority of the week, and this is another one
Yeah.
where I'm like, why are we spending so much time on this? Because nobody gives a fuck. But Ava and Harris get to London while Rafe questions Tripp. Wendy tries to get proof on EJ but gets fired instead.
I'm so over Wendy at this point and Trip.
I will say, I like that EJ was outsmarting her because I knew EJ was not that dumb to just leave her fo his phone. Like, the minute his phone was on that desk, I'm like, he's trying to trap her. Like, I kept waiting for them to like pan up and see him watching her.
And
And
they
they did
did.
it like, f and they did it like 5 seconds before he said something. I was like, oh, she's cooked.
Yeah. I mean, I
But
don't know why she's surprised that she got fired. Like, ma'am, you were snooping through his phone and his computer. What did you expect?
Also, can we talk about how Trip is such a sanctimonious asshat?
It just, I don't know what their vision is for Trip, but it's not clicking for me.
Because how are you going to call EJ a what did he call her a murdering call him a murdering bastard to Wendy this week or something along those lines? And I'm like, sir, your mother is Ava Vitale. She is also a hypocritical murdering bitch. So what exactly are you judging EJ for?
Like, it makes no sense because your mom is basically exactly what EJ is supposed to be. So you're defending her, but you're mad. I guess it's his mom, but also, like, you haven't known her that long.
The other thing too, like you don't have a connection to Ava. You don't know this woman. You should be looking at her funny just for what she did to Kayla, the woman you look more the woman you look at as a mom more than Ava because you spent more time with her.
And what
After what happened
what she's done to Steve as well.
to Steve, to his brother, like he has all the reasons in the world to be looking at her like, I want to be your son. I want to know who you are because I have so many questions, but everything you do makes that really difficult. And instead, he's just walking around defending her.
Like, I
And
was
it's just
rooting for
like,
EJ and Rafe this entire
Rafe
week.
actually had a brain this week, which I attribute to Jada.
Yeah, she's rubbing her like intellectual brain on her
Listen,
on him.
usually people fuck their brain cells away. Apparently, he's getting his brain cells back.
Yeah, I mean, I was rooting for him. He made points. Like, what was it that he said something? I don't remember what he said, but he you have to refresh my memory,
Yeah,
Tony.
it was something like it was like, you know, oh yeah, I can't I can't do it, you know, I have no proof for it. He said something and he's like, but now you can sit here and think about the aiding and abetting charges once he found the passport photo. And it's like, okay, how stupid are you to just leave the original passports that were very clearly doctored around to find? You throw them out, you claim you lost them, and then you get new ones. Like, hello.
Yeah. Trip is not very smart.
Clearly, like he is not his mother's son at
Mm-mm.
all.
Yeah, it's not he's not making smart moves and he's looking funny. And I'm like, well, whatever happens, you brought it on yourself. So I'm kind of not feeling bad for him and Wendy. Because y'all are doing this, all of this for Ava Vitale. And Ava is my girl, but
You know what? And Tripp and Wendy haven't even been together that long to justify Wendy willing to break all of these laws for him.
yeah.
Like it's not an established relationship like Stefan and Gabby or Johnny and Chanel where there's a connection and an investment of time there that those two breaking the law for each other would completely make sense. That is absent here. Y'all have been together for 30 seconds. I'm sorry, the sex was not that good.
It was not. I just, where did we go wrong with Wendy? Because she had such potential, and it's not hitting right for me. And it's, I'm over it. I do want her still being on the show and all of that, but they need to fix the writing because this is not it.
And I do not care about Ava and Harris and their London adventures. Like
Yeah.
the chemistry between Tamara and Steve is there, but I'm just like, you're trying to make
It
fetch
just, to
happen,
me,
and we don't care.
it looks so funny when he had those boxers on, and like
My God, I know.
his legs are bigger than those boxers, and I was like, couldn't y'all get like, I don't know, it just looked so small on I'm not. Oh, it just looks hilarious to
You
me.
know what it is? I think it's because those boxers are usually worn when the man is shirtless, and Steve Burton does not like to do shirtless scenes, so he had the tank top on with the boxers, and it was just very weird.
No, not even that, because he's kind of like big, not like big,
Like
having,
muscular, yeah.
yeah. So it just looked weird because he has big legs or thighs. So it just looked weird. I don't know, bigger shorts maybe. It just looked funny to me because that was all it was focusing on, because those boxers looked short. I was like, wardrobe department messed up here, but whatever. I mean,
And I also completely did not care about the Ava Jake retread. They were trying to play
yeah.
the, oh my God, you lost your husband. I'm so sorry.
But you're not gonna lose me. Like,
It's
we're
just not
skipping over
hitting the
so,
way.
for a lot of pairings, I guess we're gonna call Ava and Harris a potential pairing because that's how they're playing it. They're skipping over a lot of beats and just going straight into, oh, I feel a connection to you. Like, y'all haven't
And I
done
think it's
shit to feel a
because of
connection.
who I think it's who it's because of who Steve and Tamara are, and not necessarily having to do with the characters.
Just I'm over.
Like, this is very much we're taking popular actors from another show and putting them together because fans of that show always wanted them together. But whether or not it actually makes
I
sense for
don't
our show
see
is
any hype
irrelevant.
for them being on here.
Oh no, they're not, because not enough Steve Burton fans have made the jump. I think they were banking on the fact that all of his fans would come over from General Hospital and would be super happy to have the Jason and Carly that everybody arguably always wanted but never got.
Yeah.
But he in the, in the last couple of years, his, he's got some of his diehards, but his fan base isn't what it was. And Tamara has made Ava her own on this show in her own right, that she doesn't need to
Have Harris.
have Harris there to kind of make her work, because she works on her own and he's just bringing her down.
Yeah, that's a good way to like explain all of it, because I don't mind Harris, I just don't care for this. And Ava can stand on her own, like you said. Tamara is always bringing it, so this story, whole storyline, they should have thrown it away, but I guess they wanted to put them together and want to bring back Susan, so here we are.
And like Harris as a character, we need to have the conversation of Harris Michaels is not working.
Yeah.
Like, it's not terrible. Like, it's not like it's awful to watch and I just can't stomach it. It's the fact that you're literally throwing him everywhere, and I have no idea. You're throwing him everywhere, trying to make him stick, and nowhere where you've thrown him has it worked.
I agree. I'm hoping it's
Because
ending soon.
it's not, and I will tell you off air what I mean by
Oh Lord. Anyway, let's move on. We don't have
that.
anything else to say about this story.
No, we don't. So let us move on to our next thing. Hold on, let me pull up the outline. It closed on me. Here we go. Okay. The biggest story of the week. The hunt for Victor's will continues. Alex and Brady go to Victor's house in Greece to find those letters. When they get there, they are gone. They were on the plane with Victor. Shane and the ISA recovered a briefcase, which he leaves with Teresa to give to Brady. Brady gives it to Justin. He opens it with Maggie, and they find Victor's updated will.
Well, apparently that wasn't Drew. That wasn't Drew that we saw. Remember, we discussed it
No,
last
yeah,
week.
no, that was. I thought you said true, not Drew. Yeah, no, that was definitely Shane. Which I highly question Shane leaving that
Yeah,
briefcase
but
with Teresa.
these
And I'm
writers
glad
do
that
not
John
care about
questioned
like
it.
what makes sense for characters anymore. Like we.
I am glad that John questioned it, because like in that conversation that Brady and John had, John was like, you didn't actually speak to Shane. Shane just left this with Teresa. He is like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I'm glad that he said that. Teresa's gonna Teresa and she opened the briefcase. I don't think what's gonna happen. I'm starting to go down the theories of Teresa tampered with the briefcase.
I don't know if Teresa did or Drew did. Because, like, I'm still not 100% that that was Shane. It feels like that was Shane. But John questioning why Shane would leave it with Teresa makes me wonder if they are going to eventually pivot it and have them say that Drew did it and that Drew somehow screwed with the contents inside.
But someone said like it's too many coincidences. Not exactly that. That wasn't what they exactly said, but like they brought up these coincidences, like Teresa just happened to be in Greece with them. Like she followed along. She got a hold of the briefcase. She slept with Alex. Like I feel like Teresa, I don't know how, because they legit like walked in and I don't know, 5 minutes after she got the briefcase and
It
opened it.
also doesn't look like the briefcase, like nobody has mentioned that the briefcase was tampered with. She very clearly picked the lock to open it. Yet
Yeah.
Justin nor Brady noticed that the briefcase was tampered with.
She either must be that good or they're stupid to not notice. Oh, Lord. There's so many plot holes in this story already, but I guess.
I will, and we'll discuss where it's going next week when it happens. I will say if where it's going turns out to be true, there is on-screen history to back it up. But there is also enough mess here to also make it completely not true.
Yeah, I to me what's coming, it feels unnecessary. If let's say, just humor me, if it's actually legit, no one has tampered with it, and it is actually 100% legit and it's true. Can we talk about the spoiler?
Yeah, we can talk about it. It's in Soap Opera Digest. It's fine.
Okay, so if it's true that Alex is Victor's son, and let's say this is actually true. No one has messed with the briefcase. No one has chained anything, blah, 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 blah. How come this show refused to write for Philip, who's also Victor's son, obviously, and Beau? Like, they refused to bring Peter Rickle back for his funeral. They said, we don't have anything for you. Why should I give a fuck about Alex Kyriakis when you have two of Victor's sons you refuse to write for? Make that make sense for me. Because why should I care?
I do wonder if they were originally planning to reveal this back when Kayla found the original letters in March,
It's possible.
but because John died, they had to pivot it till after he died, because Victor was supposed to be on screen during that story. So I wonder if we would have gotten a lot more out of it had John lived. But as much as I am for, like, I am for this story because I'm happy that they are using the history if it's true, and I'm here for the mess if it's not, I understand the complaints of those who are saying this doesn't make sense to do it with Victor gone.
That and also like you have two of his other sons you very much could have written for. Like Peter Reckle definitely wanted to be on the show, like he wanted to be in the
And still
story.
does, I think. Like,
Yeah,
I don't think that door is closed.
he did. And you okay, we still have Philip on screen, but he's not here for he's here for a good time, not a long time.
Exactly. Like, he's only here
But
for
when you
13
brought back
episodes, and like six
Jay,
of them
who
have
had
already
been
aired.
gone for a decade, you did things with him, but they were not good. Like, and you refused to really invest in Philip. So why should I care with about this? I'm not asking you to, I'm just saying
No,
in
I know it.
general.
It's just a ge it's a general it's a general question. I get it.
And
And
that's
like,
where I am. And also, I don't think it's gonna turn up the way they're playing it. Like, I don't think it Alex is gonna be Victor's son at the end of the day. I think there's some mess up, but I'm just like hypothetically speaking, it is what it is for me.
But I'm also trying to figure out the motive for her. Let's say there was some fuckery afoot. Why would Teresa do this? What would be her motive to do this?
That's a good question.
Because I'm not really seeing it. Because Alex is already a powerful Kyriakis, powerful in his own right, in a sense. Like, she doesn't need to give him, she doesn't need to give him money. He already has money. I don't really think she gives a fuck about Xander enough to fuck with his birthright like that. You know what I'm saying? Brady isn't as involved in the Kyriakis of it all for it to really affect him in any way. So I don't really understand why she would.
Me neither, but it's definitely possible. I think she could. It's possible that she had. Like she messed with it, but I don't know how. I don't know what her motive would have been. But it's not out of the realm for like things
Because it's
that
also
like.
clear she didn't know what was in that briefcase either. Because so she opened it up out of curiosity, wondering what the hell was inside. How much time did she really have to really doctor up anything before Alex and Brady came back?
That's the thing, like. I don't know if she had enough time to do it, but I still got a feeling she had something to do with it. I guess we'll see.
I think it would make more sense that the stuff was already doctored when she got there.
Yeah.
And that Drew did it more than Teresa. Because Drew, you can say, did it for whatever reason and create a narrative and a reasoning behind that later. But this just doesn't make any sense.
Like most stories, I guess we'll see when it plays out. I don't know how. I still think there she has something to do with it.
I will say I am very curious to see how it all plays out. But yeah, we're definitely in a wait and see mode with this story
Yeah.
because that's basically we can't really discuss anything else till we see how it all falls out next week. I was very happy when they found the updated will and that Vivian is going to be yeeted out of Titan relatively quickly because no.
Yeah, I don't have a lot more to say about this story.
Shall we move into our in other news segment then?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, we've got Alex and Teresa hook up. Chad quits his job. Vivian asks Alex, then Philip, to work with her at Titan. Steve and Kayla ask Stephanie and Chad about marriage, and it's awkward as hell. Chloe and Xander and Rex and Sarah decide to rush down the altar that day. They woke up that one morning and just said, "Hey, let's get married." Maggie pressures Sarah to come clean with Xander, and Rex gets, I don't, some sort of word vomit and decides to tell Philip the truth about the baby, and Chloe overhears. Where should we start with this mess?
You can go first.
Okay. Let's dive in with Steve and Kayla asking Stephanie and Chad about marriage. What the entire fuck was that? Abigail has been dead 15 months. She was your niece. Why are you pushing your daughter into a marriage with a grieving widow or widower? I think it's widower for a guy. Like, I don't understand. Why are you basically forgetting that your niece existed and pushing marriage when they literally just moved in together 5 seconds ago? I was so annoyed with both Steve and Kayla because you had no why. Why are you doing this? Why? It was just disrespectful to Abby. It was uncomfortable to watch. Chad was very clearly not comfortable. Stephanie was not comfortable. Like, just why?
The only reason I would accept them doing this is if it were like a whole wedding drama with Abby showing up alive. If it led to that, but no,
Yeah.
this was too much too soon.
Too soon.
Like they, another terrible ship on the show I don't give a fuck about. Like what? They've skipped over so many steps. Like they were dating, okay, and like 5 minutes later, let's move in together. And now her parents are talking about marriage. Like, shut the fuck up. This ship ain't
Please.
shit. Sorry, but like,
And why do you want this for your child? I like
I don't know.
honest question. Like Chad's a not bad dude, despite what Michael likes to try to tell people on this podcast. But like he's still in his, the grief is still relatively fresh. Why are you trying to basically push Stephanie into a stepmother mode that she may or may not be ready for?
Makes no sense. Like the whole thing made me cringe. I'm not feeling Stephanie. Stephanie and Chad are a massive flop. They basically have no fans from what I know. Sorry if I offend any fan out there. It's
I'll
just
be
not
honest, I
hitting.
think Stephanie and Alex have more fans than Stephanie and Chad do.
I think so too. And honestly, it pains me to say it, but I think they have more chemistry.
Kind of agree.
I don't think it's anything outstanding, but it's stronger there than it is here. But
And
yeah.
she's. I don't know. I like her dynamic, I think, better with Alex than I do with Chad. I think.
I don't know.
It's kind of hard to tell because the story's terrible, but like
It's just exhausting to watch.
what is
Honestly,
you? Yeah, I agree. What's your in other news pick?
my another news pick is another thing that just made me shake my head, but I guess Rex tells Philip the truth about the baby and Chloe overhears. I've had an issue for the longest time about Rex keeping this secret. I'm glad the truth is out. Like, I was like, hallelujah, because he should not be in this. First off, I don't give a fuck about Rex's feelings for Sarah. He's pathetic. He's a guy on the show currently, I would say, is pathetic. Because why? Sarah is not that special, huh, sweetie? Like, give her up. B, or actually, I didn't say A, but that was A. This is B. Rex, written in character, would be against keeping a secret about a baby.
Especially given everything that happened with his paternity.
Yes, twice. Mimi lied about the abortion, and he was not a mad, like he, and he would have no right to. He was not mad about the abortion. He was mad about being lied to. Keyword, lied to. Second time, he was not mad, actually. I don't, he was not mad about it, but he was again lied to. Mimi has a pattern, obviously, but that's not the point. He was lied to twice. Now
And
tell me.
that wasn't even the angle I was talking about. He
No,
also knows what it.
tell me. No, I'm getting there. Tell me why he willingly. I know it's his friend or whatever. He likes her, he's in love with her, or has feelings for her. But tell me why he would be okay with it when he's been there of not knowing the truth and missing out. Okay, let's take me Emily for example. He missed out a year of her life because he was lied to. Now, granted,
the truth about Victoria is coming out really soon. So Xander has missed what? I mean,
12
the entire
hours.
12 hours and the entire pregnancy, which is not something I guess he will be happy about. But again, like Rex's stance in this story to me personally has never made sense.
And even
Because
if you take the parent aspect out of it, he's also been on the other end of it where finding out your paternity was a lie. He's been the
yes. Oh,
child who didn't know,
yeah.
which is kind of where I thought you were going, considering
Yeah. Now I was
where you
going
are in your.
more with him being like lied to when it concerns his babies. So that is true as well. It was a big thing when Eric Winter played Rex. Being lied to was a big thing. He hated it. He hated being lied to. The breakup scenes with Rex and Mimi, I watched them not long ago before I got on my binge because I was starting to miss them a lot. And I had recently watched New Remy's story in 2018. So I jumped back. He specifically said, I hated being lied to. Like, everyone lied to me. The Demeras messed with my life, blah, blah, blah. Something like that, along those lines. Don't take my word verbatim. He hated being lied to. And he was lied to, but like he was locked in for 18 years, sorry. They lied to him and he found out his parents weren't really his parents. And then the whole story with Mimi having an abortion and lying to him a year happened. Like, and now, like 13 years later, he was lied to again. Why? Why would he lie now? Makes no sense. I don't care if it's someone he likes, his best friend. When you have a character who specifically said they hate being lied to, especially concerning like parentage, why are you making a choice to have them do the exact thing they are against? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
It's
it makes complete sense.
another example for me. I mean, with most characters on the show, this is not Rex to me. This is Pod Rex. This is not Rex. Because nothing about this has made any sense. Like,
And honestly, too, it also makes no sense that he got to the point in which he would tell Philip. We haven't exactly seen him feeling guilty about keeping this lie. We have not seen him conflicted. He's never even mentioned it once
because
to
he's used
either
as prop.
Sarah or
He's not
Maggie.
a.
He's mentioned it to nobody. Now all of a sudden he's conflicted and guilty and hates lying and he needs to emotionally vomit this all over his brother just so Chloe can walk up and overhear. Like, I'm confused.
Like in that thing, like that part of this episode is actually in character for X, but we hadn't seen it. We hadn't seen him being guilty. We hadn't seen him like he was more like, oh, let's get married. Like,
Yeah,
sir.
that's the thing. Like, if I had seen him being conflicted about it even a little bit, like even in scenes with Roman and Kate, if they had seemed so happy about being a grandparent again, especially coming off of Eric miscarrying, Eric and Sloane miscarrying, like then you could see him feeling guilt because he's setting them up to lose another grandchild down the line.
You know, also what kind of like pisses me off? You have a whole ass daughter in Chicago. Why are you here, like being in their mess again? You have a daughter that you're co-parenting with Mimi, but you're over here trying to play dad to a baby who's not yours, and I don't like I can't. It doesn't make sense. You're helping someone lie that you should have been feeling guilty about all along because you're against lying to people. And you know how it feels to miss out on your baby's life. Yet you're over here doing a whole lot of bullshit instead of co-parenting with Mimi. And we saw that earlier this year, but now you're like, he's over here. There, it's not in character, makes no sense. He's used as a prop. Please exit stage left, because like this is stupid, very stupid. And it actually bothered me this week, so I'm glad the truth is out, so we can get on with this. I do not care about the flop wedding of Rex and Sarah. They're not giving. They have never been giving. Just end it, which is it is soon, but I'm exhausted. It just pissed me off, Tony.
No, I believe me, I get it.
I
When you have something.
want to try liking this version of Rex, but they're making it impossible for
And
me.
you've had your moments, because remember, you liked the way they used him during the Orchid story.
Yeah, I liked it then when they tie into who he was. Because what, let me just break it down. The Rex we saw with Eric Winter, he was like, in the grand scheme of things, Rex is basically a nobody character. Like, and I don't know how to explain it, but you get what I'm saying. Like, he was gone for like over a decade. But anyway, so a character can change. But when it comes to Eric Winter's Rex, he had a huge personality that was kind of different from everyone else, like every guy on the show. He was not that regular degular character they're having Rex as right now. He was a super genius who had like massive mood swings that disappeared after a while, obviously. But he was super smart. I think he was more like, he was basically more book smart than people smart, but he was a super genius. And Mimi basically helped him. She taught him how to live, I guess. And he had no idea what love was before Mimi. He said that in a quote back in the day. But like, what I'm saying is, he had like a completely different personality than Rex right now. Because Rex currently, like I said, he just feels like a regular character. He could be like, he's just another Brady, or another, maybe not another Xander, but you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he, back in the day, had a distinctive like personality. He was not the same as Sean or Philip or Brady. He was different. And that's a quality that I like really enjoyed with Rex, because he was, yeah, all of them were impulsive as fuck, more or less. But like, it was very endearing. Rex was a super genius who was impulsive, who, like, how did you, I don't know, I'm just rambling, but nothing about this Rex makes sense anymore. And
Yeah,
it's been
he
moments.
needs to be removed from this story.
Quickly, like I said, there's been moments, like you said, actually, there was moments that I really liked, not Rex. I liked his initial story with Mimi when they both came to town. I
It's
hated
honestly the Sarah of it all that ruins him.
that.
And
Thank you.
it's not even because Sarah is that bad of a character, because honestly, she's not.
To me,
It's
she is,
just that
but I digress.
But honestly, it's just they don't work. And she brings out parts of Rex that don't make sense.
Yeah, I think she, like, it's very obvious she keeps using Rex and he doesn't realize it. And
No,
I'm,
the thing is, he realizes it and he doesn't care. And that's what's weird. He would
yeah, that's
care.
true. Like, it just makes no sense. Why are we doing this? You know, she, her lo the love of her life is Xander. You stand no chance here, sir. Go
And
home.
you know it, and you don't care. Like,
Like, why are you willingly being like pathetic? Explain it to me, sir. Like, I'm tired. I try to defend you. No, actually don't. But
Like, it's hard.
Because you can't defend it because you don't recognize this character because Rex with Sarah is not Rex.
No. And it's wild, like, even with the Brady face of it all, and like even with scenes and with Mimi, like I had to try to like disconnect Brady of it and just place Rex in it. And it worked. It really worked. Like, I think a lot of had to do with Mimi and Farrah. But again, it worked. Why are we doing things that are not working for this character? Stop bringing him back to do this bullshit. Keep him off screen raising his baby. That's it. If this is go what you're gonna do, it's not needed. I don't care. I don't
Or
think a
hell,
lot.
bring him back to be the anti-Rolf. Like, if you're gonna have Rolf do all of these crazy, like, medical things that make people sick, bring him back
Yeah, bring him back as
to
a
have
super.
it. Bring him back as the super genius who can undo whatever Dr. Rolf did because he learned at the hands of Dr. Rolf and now he is taking everything he learned and trying to spin it into something good.
Yeah, like, or just do a massive reset for Rex. We're gonna have to recast him because Kyle has a job as an anchor, right?
Yeah, he's a morning news anchor. I think he may still be able to do both because they
No,
like he's not.
I don't need it.
I'm just saying.
A lot of it has to do with the acting not clicking either for me, but right now it's, I think massively, it's just the writing.
Think honestly, it's just the writing because I think if they wrote more to who Rex was back then, I think Kyle could play it.
Maybe. But I wouldn't mind the recast and hitting on the reset button and doing Rex all over. Not all of it, but most of it. Like, it's do definitely doable. But I'm glad the truth is out. I'm glad Chloe heard it. And yeah, that's all I had to say, which was a lot, but I had those feelings.
But that's okay. You had a lot to say, and that is totally fine.
Yeah.
But shall we move this into praise or
Yeah.
shade?
Let's do it.
Are you praising or shading?
I guess what I said before was a shade, so I'll tie that in here, and shade, because I just want the show to stop making like doing things that doesn't make sense for the characters. S stop it and write more character-driven stories. Tie into the history of the characters, and you will have a better show. Because what I just said in my another news pick, that goes against in character entirely. Like we have seen as him talking about him not liking being lied to, like he's against it. So why are you doing what the exact opposite? Stop doing these kind of stuff because it happens a lot. Like, Rex is just one example of many. So I'm tired of the show doing this. These plot-driven writing, like stories, it's just not clicking, and it's. Ugh, I'm over it. It's basically all Daze is right now, and I don't feel. I'm just over it. That's it. Do better, because this is exhausting at this point. And
And
that's my shade.
I'm gonna hop on the shade train too. I'm gonna shade the pacing of the show. I mentioned it earlier when we discussed the Chantalia stuff, but the pacing on the show, the choices on what stories get central focus through the week are very much questionable. And I feel like it's very much the former producer putting in what he thinks would make an amazing show, and it in fact does not. So I'm going to be very curious to see how 2024 looks in Salem on a lot of fronts, because I feel like the former producer had a hand in a lot of these stories, and I cannot wait for the day where his hand is no longer on this show. So that's kind of my shade, and also just kind of a general. Please let us get to the other side of this mess very quickly,
Yeah.
because we're tired.
Yeah, it's very exhausting to watch day to day. And I end up fast, I don't fast forward, like I skip completely. I put it on 2 times fast forward and watch. And that's not how I want to watch a show. So please fix your problems, Days. I know it's impossible. But please attempt at least, because this is tiring as fuck.
Do you have any other final thoughts?
Actually, no.
All right. So on that note, we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.